John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Lillian, for reading that for us this morning. Well, a warm welcome from me as well today, and it's great to be here with you this morning, joining us and for joining us in our worship and our prayers. Today we're going to start a new series which we've called Live Well. And it's really on the back of our motto text for 2021 from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that we live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Of course, the question comes, doesn't it? What does a worthy life look like? And thankfully, Paul provides us with some clue as to what that might be. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to where that motto text is in Colossians and chapter 1. And you'll see in verses 10 to 12 that Paul gives us four key things of what it looks like to live a life. He says in verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work, then growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at each of those statements that Paul makes about what it looks like to live this worthy life and how we might be able to reflect that life of the Lord, the life of Jesus, into the world that we live in. A worthy life is, of course, a great witness to the love of Jesus that you have, a witness to those in your home, in your family, to those who you work, for those who you're responsible for, to those that you just bump into every day, sometimes it seems by chance, that a worthy life is not something that is internalized, but it's also overflows in us. So today I want to ask, what does it look like to bear good fruit, and how might we bear good fruit in every good work that we undertake? Well, John 15, I think, provides us some really important clues as to how to produce good fruit in our lives. If we're going to bear good fruit, provide us with some key gardening tips that we might want to take on board in our everyday life as well. Jesus says that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And so it's important that we understand the true vine that is Jesus and the role of the Father as gardener as well. John in his gospel has seven distinct sayings of Jesus, I am sayings, Jesus declaring exactly who he is. And of course, in the passage that Lillian read, we have one of them, I am the true vine. Jesus is very much an Old Testament idea, and you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7, where the prophet proclaims that Israel is the vineyard and Judah is the vine. But Jesus, of course, declares himself as the true vine, the fulfillment of all that prophecy, the fulfillment of all those years of frustration that the people of Israel had in their journey of discovering who Jesus was. But Jesus declares that he is the true vine, the full revelation of God's faithfulness to his people. If you like, the real deal. Not some precursor to something else, but the fulfillment of all that God had planned for his people from the very beginning. Of course, Israel's vineyard wasn't fruitless. It did produce something, but very sadly, Isaiah 5 tells us that they produced bad fruit, bad grapes. In fact, in verse 6 of Isaiah 5, it says that Israel had become a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. And an unpruned and uncultivated garden produces bad fruit. But thankfully, we have a God, second, third, fourth, fifth, countless chances, of course, countless opportunities to start again, to begin a journey from wherever we're at because of Jesus, the true vine. True vine says to us, you can bear fruit. You can bear fruit that will last if you stay connected to the vine, to Jesus, if you undertake the gardening skills of the Father. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, but connected to him, the potential that's wrapped up in your life is endless possibilities of bearing good fruit that will last. Now, great gardens, of course, are a result of great gardeners. If you come to my garden, you'll see just the beginning. But, of course, one of the joys of moving to this area is, of course, Trentham Gardens. Now, I didn't even know Trentham Gardens existed until we moved here about 15 months ago, but it has become a great place to go. And there you see the work of great gardeners. Of course, Capability Brown digging that lake up so that we could enjoy all that's going on there. I don't think he did it on his own, having said that. But then since that moment, a sequence of great gardeners who cultivate and look after and clear and prune and chop down for us joy. Great gardens are the result of great gardeners. And great lives are a result of great gardener as well, of Jesus at work in each of our lives. My Father is the gardener, Jesus says, the one who created Eden, the one who will create that garden that Revelation talks about right at the very end. The great gardener is at work, and we have an opportunity to allow the great gardener to do a work in us so that our lives bear fruit, good fruit, that produce even more than that. Right at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we see this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they were just invited to enjoy everything that the gardener had produced for them. But of course, we know the story that things went wrong. In the book of Revelation, it says that there will be trees that are full of fruit. And every month, they'll be producing something beautiful and tasty. No curse, just abundance. Why? Because of Jesus. Both gardens at the beginning and the end are filled with good fruit to enjoy. But it's the bit in the middle that is the problem. And what happens between Eden and the restored Eden, the place that we're in now, that we live in this tension of what has been and what is still to come, but we have an opportunity to bear good fruit in the light of who Jesus is in our lives. Jesus came to offer life in all its fullness, abundance, the possibilities of a life lived that bears good fruit in every good work, a worthy life lived well in the light of his presence, a people aligned to his purposes to fulfill his promises in everything we do. You know, this is what I know. Jesus wants you and me to bear good fruit. He wants our lives to flourish, to be lived at their full potential. And we can bring a taste of the restored Eden in our everyday, in everything we do, to everyone that we meet. If you stay connected to the call of Jesus, then I believe your life will bear good fruit. It will give people a glimpse of what Eden could again be like. One of the joys of the lockdown has been increasing I know many of you walked anyway long before lockdowns, but it seems to have got most of us out of our houses and out onto the streets again. And of course, the lockdown happened around March time, and we enjoyed that lovely spring and then into a beautiful summer. And one of the things that Kerry and I loved to do as we were walking was to pick blackberries. And I have to say, around where we live, there was an abundance of blackberries this year. I don't know whether more than ever, but it seemed like it. And we stacked our freezer with blackberries, and we're enjoying the abundance of fruit even now. But how does it happen? How does good fruit come out of a life? You know, I'm not a very sophisticated gardener. I'm more Chainsaw Massacre than Saccateur. I'm more Don Corleone than Monty Don. But here are my gardening tips to you this morning for a fruitful life. Well, they're not mine, are they? They come straight out of the mouth of Jesus as to how we can be producing good fruit. First thing, my first tip to you is to receive Christ. Right at the heart of bearing good fruit is the need for us to receive Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, in his letter to Colossians, he goes on a little bit. In chapter 2 and verse 6, he says this: "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Just as you received Christ Jesus, it's the starting point for a fruitful life, to receive him, to have him part of our everyday life. Jesus says to his followers, and John 15 comes in that sort of context of his final words to his followers. They've just celebrated the Passover meal. Jesus is with his 12 closest friends who are going to take the church into the future. And he says these words, you know, I am the vine. You have received me into your life already. I'm talking to you. I'm giving you instructions as to what your life could become. He says you're already clean. Now, clean doesn't mean perfect, of course, but clean gives the conditions for something greater than where they are at that time. You know, if you're growing a vine, you have to ensure that the plant is clean. It's disease-free. It has an opportunity to produce only good fruit. If you want a successful crop, then you have to have a successful beginning point, a successful plant that gives the opportunity for good fruit to be produced. Jesus says, you are made clean. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you are cleansed. You are clean. You have the potential to bear good fruit that will last. I mean, this is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that moment when Jesus came back from the dead and he met his disciples in the upper room and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was an offer. Receive the power source that you will need to continue this mission. Receive it. Be open to what Jesus has to give you. Receive his very life into your life. It draws us closer to him. It convicts us of the disease and the sin that so easily gets into our lives. It gives us an opportunity to be made clean again. You know, when I was a kid, and we had an orchard at the back of the house that I grew up in, and we would spend hours in that orchard. And you can imagine that we would get fairly messed up and dirty. Now, in order to sit down and have a meal, we had to clean up. And often my mum would just get a hanky out and she would say, "Spit on this." And then she would clean my face with my own spit, with my own hanky. It seems a bit bizarre now, but that's what it was. We just got cleaned up on the outside. But what I know is that as adults, often the mess isn't on the outside, it's often on the inside. And we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleaned up. Receive. Receive, Jesus says. Receive me into your life. Now, I know many of you listening will have received Christ many, many years ago. Your starting point of your journey goes back a long way, but it started when you welcomed Jesus into your life. For some of you, it was a moment. For others of you, it's been a journey. For some of you, it's much more recent than that. But maybe for some of you watching today, maybe you haven't received Christ yet. Maybe there's the frustration going on that, you know, I can't do this on my own. And no, you can't. You need to receive Christ into your life. If you're going to bear good fruit, If your life is going to flourish, then here's what Jesus offers. Receive. You know, receiving gives us an opportunity for repentance, to turn around from what's wrong in our lives and to begin to head in his direction, and then we'll bear good fruit. You know, I remember receiving Jesus when I was 7. I remember another opportunity at 14. I remember another when I was 24, because I needed a fresh infilling of his presence to clean me up, to help me to flourish. Why not receive Christ today? He gave his life for you. And all he asks is that you offer yourself back to him. So that's my first gardening tip. Receive Christ. It's the great start. Secondly, be rooted in Christ. Colossians 2 verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him. You know, there's the place, because what you are attached to will determine what you finish with. The foundation you start with will determine the life that you lead. That's what Jesus said, you know, that story he told of the two builders, the one who built on rock and the one who built on sand. What you start to build your life on will determine what you finish your life with. And Paul says, be rooted in Christ. Jesus says, attach yourself to me, the vine. That's where the life flows. Verse 4 of John chapter 15 says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. You've got to be attached to the source of life where fruit can grow. It's always intrigued me over the last many years, the increase when you go into a bookstore or you search online on an online bookstore, how many self-help books there are. And you can get a self-help book about absolutely anything today. If you search on one of the biggest online retailers today and you just put in self-help books, it will come up with so many books, all it says is over 100,000 up near the top of it. Over 100,000 self-help books. Maybe you've got some on your shelf as well, and some of them give great advice. But what it's saying is be rooted in yourself. You can sort out your own problems, your own future, by depending on yourself. Now, it's important that we have a great view of ourselves, but that comes because God has that view of you. God says, you know, love me, attach yourself to me. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your soul, your strength, your mind, everything you have. Attach yourself to the source of life itself. When we start building our lives on ourselves, Jesus says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. How can self help self when self needs help itself? Hope I've got that in the right order. But what you attach yourself to will determine what your life produces. And I believe there's so much potential in all of us when we attach ourselves to the source of life, to the vine itself, when we're rooted and grounded in who Jesus is. Your strong roots go down deep. Strong roots go down to the place where it started. I urge you today, remain rooted to Jesus. Attach yourself to him, because without him, we can't bear fruit that will last. And finally, I urge you to remain in Jesus. You know, Paul writing to the Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. See to it that no one distracts you from Christ. Remain in Jesus. As Lillian read to us that passage in John chapter 15, do you see how many times it said about remaining? But it also gave you a choice. If you remain, Jesus invites you to remain in him in order to bear fruit that will last. Verse 5 of John 15, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what is your life producing? Paul in Galatians chapter 5 points out to a life that produces good fruit and a life that produces bad fruit. He gives us a glimpse as to what life produces with or without Jesus. If we're determined to build our life on ourselves, then it's clear what sort of life it will be. But a life with Jesus produces fruit like love and joy and peace and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, good fruit that will last. Bear fruit in every good work. How do we remain in Jesus? Well, John 15 and verse 9 gives us the key glue to do that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain, abide, dwell, stay in his presence, and you will grow good fruit. If you want to do something, you need to do one thing. Remain attached to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him and walk his way. You know, when Jesus was praying up on a mountain, he'd taken his three friends with him. The voice of the Father burst out of heaven and said to them, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When Jesus and his family were at the wedding feast in Cana, when the wine had run out, Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." And when they did what Jesus told them, they produced wine that was the best they'd tasted the whole day. How do you remain connected in his love? John 15:10 says, "Keep my commands. Do what he says. Spend time in his presence, listen to him, and respond to what it is you hear him saying." Bear fruit in every good work. The heavy weight of good, tasty fruit that refreshes and revives and renews and impacts the lives of everything we do in his name. Will you take my gardening tips today? Receive Christ. Be rooted in him and remain in him. I believe then we have an opportunity to live a worthy life and to bear much fruit in every good work. Jesus has been this way before. He's the vine, his Father is the gardener. And as we fix our eyes on him, as we see the life that he lived, the possibilities for you and for me to change this world are endless. Let's pray together. I invite you today just to take a moment to receive Christ, to receive a fresh infilling of his Spirit, to feel his life flow in to your life. Receive today. Father, we receive your love right now. Through your Holy Spirit, pour out your life-giving love into our lives. Renew and refresh us. Come, Holy Spirit. Today we sit in your presence and we choose to attach ourselves to you. I pray that you'll help us to remain in your love, and by remaining, to go and do good works in your name that will bear good fruit in more ways than we could imagine. May we live a life worthy of the Lord, of being a follower of yours, Jesus. We can't do anything without you. We need you. Thank you, Lord, for the offer of life and life in all its fullness. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to serve you this coming week, to be renewed in your love, and to see you change lives. In your name, amen.